This is the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast, episode number 136. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast, the show where I get a chance to interview today's top entrepreneurs and marketing experts to help you figure out what's working in the world of pizza today. Not just pizza, but in the restaurant space in general. Excited for today's guest. His name is Andrew Carlson, who's wrote a book recently. And the book is called Customer Service is the Bottom Line. You know, the email that I get most frequently from the show is about finding employees, and then what do you do when you do find them? How do you train them? How do you build your team and the culture around that? We do a lot of live shows with my friend Mike Ganino, all about that. If you haven't joined us yet on Tuesday night, you really should. Our live show. But this episode is heavily focused on hiring, training, and culture. Not so much culture, but building a team. And what do you do to build a team? And Andrew gives some great advice about how you can go about doing that. So I'm excited to share this casual conversation with Andrew. It's about 35 minutes long, but I think you're going to get a ton out of it. I think you're going to be entertained, and I think you're going to be able to get some valuable information on what you can do after you listen to this podcast to go into your business and maybe look at it a little bit different tomorrow. Look at your staff a little bit different. Look at the process you have in place for training and building that team and the place where you find your employees. You're going to learn all of those things on the podcast episode today. This podcast is brought to you by Chow Now, the number one online ordering platform that we found customers having a great experience with, customers that own pizzerias and the customers of those pizzerias. Chow Now is definitely the best platform service. And the best thing about Chow Now is it gives you all the data and it's one flat monthly fee. No third-party percentages or per-order fees. And the more you do, the more they make. The more you do, the more you make, actually, with Chow Now. Head over to chownow.com/SPM. Or if you would like more information, you can shoot me an email personally, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. I will hook you up with my representative in your area to give you this platform for online ordering. And it's the best online ordering that we've found. We actually have our clients who need online ordering use this. And by the data that we see using them, their average ticket increases and the people who use their online ordering every month over month goes up. So head over to chownow.com/SPM. All right, we're going to get into this episode right now. Definitely go check out Andrew's book if you haven't. It's called Customer Service is the Bottom Line. You can find it on Amazon. If you head over to smartpizzamarketing.com, just type in Andrew Carlson up at the top on the search bar. You'll find this episode. It's episode number 136 of the show. A few housekeeping things, but we'll save those to the end of the episode. Hey, guys, hope you enjoy this podcast episode. Thanks so much for listening. All right, hey, welcome back to the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. Excited for today's guest. His name is Andrew Carlson. He's a restaurant expert, and especially one that you need to listen to right now because he specializes in training and procedures that are going to help you run a better business with your staff. So, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time out and joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Bruce.
So let's give a little background for anybody who doesn't know who you are or hasn't heard you on a podcast before. How did you get into this crazy restaurant space and what are you doing now?
Well, I've actually worked in restaurants ever since I was 13 years old, started as a dishwasher and server and just moved my way up through management, director of operations. And now I am currently a director of training for a restaurant that's expanding internationally and all over the United States. But I also have my own company. When I was like 18 years old, I kind of got burnt out of the restaurant industry and I was like, I'm never working in this crazy industry ever again. It's too crazy. So I decided to get into the entertainment industry, which, you know, doesn't make any sense whatsoever because they're both crazy. But after a couple years there, I just was battling some health issues and I needed something stabilized. So I went back into the restaurant industry and absolutely fell back in love with the industry. And one of the biggest things that breaks my heart every single time is when I see a restaurant close and restaurants that, you know, they poured their heart and their soul into these restaurants and they couldn't make it work. Especially out in Los Angeles where everything's super trendy right now. Owning a restaurant's very tough out here. It breaks my heart. So I wanted to make sure that there were procedures and different systems in place that I could do to help other restaurants to make sure that they don't have to close those doors and they can, you know, have a life outside of the restaurant.
Are you in Los Angeles right now?
I'm in Los Angeles, yes.
Are you originally from there?
No, originally from Minnesota. I've only lived out in Los Angeles for about 6 years now.
And when did you first go to Los Angeles? I know this has nothing to do with the show, but I'm curious.
I first tried when I was 18 years old. I was out here for about 2 months, only had like $600 in my pocket, and totally failed. Ended up sleeping on a bench outside, was homeless for a couple weeks because my pride was too big to tell my mom that I needed help. But after a couple weeks of sleeping on a bench, I said, this is crazy. So I went back home to Minnesota for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then moved back out to New Orleans. Well, moved to New Orleans, then back out to Los Angeles in 2011.
You love it out there?
I absolutely love it out here. I came out here for the entertainment industry, but I stayed for the weather, and it's beautiful all the time.
I know. I'm always complaining about the weather here in Boston, so I need to do something myself.
But the seasons are nice, though. It's just when it gets too unbearably cold.
That's true. The winter. They always tell me, you can't move to Florida or another state that's warm because it's too hot in the summer. I say, can you really do anything here in January, though, outside? Not really.
That is true. Yep.
So that, you know what? You bring up a good point, pride. I think pride gets in the way with a lot of restaurateurs. They don't feel like they should reach out for help, or they want to do it all themselves and not necessarily get all the credit, but they never feel like anybody else is good enough to help them do the things that maybe they are good at, or maybe they think they're the best at. So how do people get over that pride factor, and how did you get over that?
Well, it was a lot of soul searching for myself, where I kind of just had to say, well, it's either I'm going to continue sleeping on the streets or I need to just suck it up. Mm-hmm. And I've, like, throughout my whole restaurant management, a lot of that has been, like, me personally. It's just having to basically set my pride aside and just say, I don't know everything, and that's okay. Just because I don't know something doesn't mean that I can't find it out. And that's what, when a lot of restaurant owners and a lot of restaurant managers get into trouble, is when they pretend to know everything, and then all of a sudden they just fail miserably, and then they're upset, and then they get in trouble, and maybe the restaurant closes down because they couldn't ask for help. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, listen, I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to figure it out for you, or I'm going to hire somebody that knows what I don't know and what my shortcomings are, so then we can build a stronger restaurant.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I do that myself because I'm a horrible writer. Now, we think we were talking before we got on the podcast here about your book that's coming out, Customer Service is the Bottom Line, is the name of your new book. Mm-hmm. And I asked you how long it took you to write it. And you said, you've been working on it for a little while, but the last 2 months you've really been taking it, or not the last 2 months, but it took you 2 months of really taking it seriously to write it. And I said, wow, I'm never writing a book because I know that I'm not good at it. I'm not a good writer. You know, I think I wrote a blog post for somebody one time, really wrote, like spent a lot of time on it. I read it. I thought, well, another thing, I'm not a great reader. That's why I listen to podcasts myself. And I read it. I thought it was really good. I sent it to them, and they emailed me back and like, can you just have somebody edit this, please? Because this is pretty bad. And I was like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. I thought it was really good. But knowing what you're good at and what you're not good at, I think is really huge. And I get a lot of emails from the audience who are listening now. Maybe you've emailed me, if you're listening to this, about finding people in the restaurant. And it seems to be where there's two categories. There's the people who have figured it out, and they're growing their businesses, and they don't have any problem whatsoever. Those are the people who I talk to on the show. And then there's this other category of people, and there's nothing wrong with the other category. It's just maybe their mind hasn't shifted yet, and they just seem to be having a tremendous amount of trouble finding and training help. Do you see the same thing happening?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of it has to do with, when it comes to like finding the right people to work for you, is just being open to make sure that you are attracting the right people. Now, whether you agree with, attracting people to, your job ad, it all just depends upon, making sure that you are in the right mindset. You're not just hiring people, in a hurry just to make sure because you need people. What I like to do is, when I set up trainings for restaurants, is their training program isn't to get people onto the schedule. It's to get people to figure out if they can come up and reach their standards as a restaurant, because we dive deep into understanding your core values. What is the message what is the legacy that you want to have once you disappear? Like, the restaurant should keep going, and the message that you want should keep going. And those are the kind of people, once you lay down that foundation, you'll start attracting more people, because they're saying, well, these people want to stand for something in my community. And like in Los Angeles, it's a big, huge city. But what people don't understand is that the restaurant industry, it's a very small community and everyone knows everyone, but there's little patches, like there's Silver Lake or there's Santa Monica, and the restaurants that pop up there, they take care of their community and they make sure to you know, be really involved. And once you start becoming more involved in your community and really standing for something, that's when you can start attracting real people that really want to make your restaurant a career for them and really want to help you move forward.
Right. Now, what's more, is it more important, is the hiring process more important or the after training process? Which one is more important when it comes to, you know, building a good staff and a good team?
Well, I think it's kind of both. You have to ask the right questions during the interview, but it's okay if you... Okay, so the training is going to be way more important than the actual hiring aspect. Of course, there are certain questions that you want to start asking to make sure that they can do the job that you need them to do, but it's really about finding out how they are in the restaurant, because there's nothing worse than... It's just like when it comes to acting, people could be awesome auditioners and then they're awful when they're on set, or it could be vice versa.
Right.
They could be awful at their audition and then nail it when they're actually acting on film. So it's the same way. Everyone brings their A game to the interview. They will say whatever they have to say to make sure that they can land the job. But then everything after that, they need to prove themselves, not just to you, but to your restaurant and what your standards are. And if you let people slide through and just say, well, we'll just get them on the schedule, it's going to be okay, we'll mold them as they continue to work for us, that's going to damage your business and it's going to cost you more in the long run. You should have your training program set up so every day you analyze and make sure that you're, you know, assessing them and making sure that they're going to be able to reach those standards. And if they can't, it doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means that they can't work for you.
Right. I mean, not every single person that walks in your door and wants to work for you is going to be, I don't want to say qualified, but they're not going to be, it's not going to be the right fit for them. I think a lot of people, especially in the restaurant space, try to have this square hole and they say, I need to fit someone into that, rather than seeing what that person can do for them and then maybe finding a role that they'd be better off in their business.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I've been talking to a few people who are doing this thing where they don't do interviews anymore. They just kind of have you come in and work. Like, you work for an hour or two and we show you around, and as you're working, we talk to you and get a feel for you, and that's the interview. What do you think of that?
I think that's a good like third step.
I think
that you can't really, like, you need to get to know somebody's personality first, and then, because if you bring somebody in just to do a hour of work or 2 hours of work, if they have a really poor attitude, regardless, you know, if they don't mesh with the staff, then that could also have a negative impact on your business. So I think at least having one interview first to kind of get to make sure that they are going to, you know, kind of mesh with your staff and your team to make sure that there's all one common goal, and then we can get them in for a stage or to work an hour or two.
Just to see if they fit in, because you never know. Maybe they're like a secret serial killer, you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a dangerous world out there.
Right. Is there any particular, is there a ratio of people you should talk to people that you would see move through that process? So say you have 10 people come in for an interview. If you're getting two or three of those people to actually come in for a second interview, is that a good ratio, or are you really bad at hiring?
Well, it depends upon how you're... If you get 2 to 3 out of every 10, that's going to be good because you have certain standards.
Yeah.
But it also means that you didn't qualify them with the job ad good enough in time. Like, there are going to be people that slip through that basically say that they can promise you the world and then they fall flat in the interview. But you should... For every 10, you should get at least 5 or 6 really qualified people. And then from those 5 or 6, you get 2 or 3 really strong candidates that, you know, will actually get through the training program.
I love that. So you just basically nailed it. You said if you're only hiring 2 or 3 people out of 10, that means the way you're attracting those 10 people, there's a flaw somewhere.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether that be where you're finding them or what you're saying in the ad, what you're saying or where you're finding them doesn't correlate with what you're saying when you meet them in person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point. So where are good places to find people to kind of build your top funnel there of employees as they come in the door?
The biggest website that I've been using right now, it's more on the expensive side, but it's called Harry, and it's like it's for the hospitality industry. It's for restaurants.
Spell that for us. Harry, like the name?
Yeah, HARRI.com. Okay. And they're from New York. And basically, it's kind of like social media. So you can reach out to people and find those really high qualified people and invite them to interview at your location. It's not really poaching because they say whether or not they're open for interviewing or not. And then there's people that when you post an ad that you can, you know, they will actually start applying for the job. But
right.
The nice thing is if they are a no-call, no-show, and Craigslist has been the worst with no-call, no-shows, at least in Los Angeles, is that they only have two tries. If they do a no-call, no-show twice, they're kicked off the website for good. Huh. So it really gives them that level of, you know, at least they're coming out to interview because they don't want to get kicked off the website. And it's good for both entry-level servers, back of house, and management positions.
That's interesting. I hear a lot of that from people. They say, you know, I got five interviews scheduled today, and I'm expecting two or three people not to show up.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's so. It's just a waste of time.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. I just think that, like you said, you got to go back to if that happens to you. It's different if it happens once in a while. If you know mm-hmm. you have five people scheduled and two people don't show up, and it's a rare case that happens to you, that's one thing. But if that happens to you over and over and over again, you have to go back to looking at what you're doing to get those five people to call you at first, and obviously reevaluate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, when it comes to getting them trained, so you're all right, you reach out to these harry.com, you have some good qualified candidates, you've done the interview process, you feel like these five or six people can fit into your business, but you really haven't seen them work yet. And then what's the next step?
And then the next step is to basically get them into the actual training. So of course there's orientation, and then you have to basically list out your whole list of expectations. So you give them the training manuals. You basically say, these are the expectations of what we want from our employees, and this is what you should expect from us. Because it's a two-way street.
Right.
It's not just you're super lucky to have this job, you're going to do as I say. It's, these are the expectations we have of you, and these are the expectations you will have of us. And together, we will be able to move towards this common goal. And then what we always say is we're setting the expectations of not everyone's going to make it through training. There's five of you. Look at each other right now, because you may not make it through. You may not see the other person the next day. And then we get them, you know, start the training process. You start with the foundation, and then you move forward. And it depends upon if you have a 5-week or 5-day training program or a 6-week training program. They need to make sure that every day they are bringing their A game to make sure that they are hitting your expectations and your standards.
Do you think that some owners aren't necessarily just not good leaders in general, and maybe they never will be?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that actually aren't good leaders, but they have a passion and a story that they want to tell other people. And we do that through food. We do that through restaurants. And just because they have this great idea doesn't mean that they're going to be great leaders. But that's when you have to have, you know, that evaluation process or the self-awareness to say, I may not be the best at this position. I've had to say that before. When I was in management, I had to say, I'm not the best manager. And there were times when I would ask employees that were lower than me, you know, like the ones that I was supervising. And I was like, how can I be better? Because I want to know how to improve. I want to know how to make sure that this workplace environment is the best that it can be, and that I'm being the best leader that I can be. I grew over time. But there are some restaurant owners and who are currently in management positions who will never be a leader, and they're just going to remain managers. And that's very tough. But I think it's up to the responsibility of the restaurant owners to, you know, have these growth opportunities, whether it's in the restaurant or outside the restaurant, so they can really improve their leadership skills. And then to have this self-awareness to know when to step away and to say, maybe I'm not cut up for this. Maybe right. I need to hire somebody like a director of operations who can manage the operations so I can focus on what I do best.
What goes into being a good leader?
The first thing is just having self-awareness. A good leader really knows their shortcomings and knows what they're really good at. And then the other thing is just being able to communicate. Good leaders will be able to communicate anything and everything all the time. And then being able to inspire their team. If you can't communicate, then you're not going to be able to inspire people. And if you don't know how to inspire people, that's okay. But what people don't realize is that you don't have to be someone different to inspire people. You just have to come in with a really good attitude every single day, no matter what's happening outside in your personal life. If you're going to be a good leader, you're going to come into the restaurant. You're going to set the tone for the day. You're going to say, everything that's happened before, I don't care. Right now, we're going to focus on how to have the best service tonight, how we're going to have the best team tonight, how I can make sure that people are happy here. And if you do those simple steps, you're going to inspire your team, and you're going to want they're going to want to make sure that they're doing everything that they can to please you, or to at least, you know, send the message out to the community saying, this is what we stand for. I personally believe in this. I want to go out to battle for you. And right. That's what good leaders do.
And communication, like you said, too. Communication, I think, solves all problems, whether that be with your spouse or a client or a customer. Like, there's never a point in time where communication can't solve a problem.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And I know that firsthand, actually. So, all right, let's move into customer service. This is a key point for me. And this is something that I haven't talked about a ton when it comes to this podcast, but I'm curious as your thoughts. I've had a lot of experience with pizzerias and restaurants, and here's something that really peeves me off. And let me know if this bothers you as well. You call up a pizzeria, right? And they answer the phone. Blah, 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 pizza. That really bugs the crap out of me. I don't know why it bugs the crap out of me, but like, that's your first experience with your restaurant or pizzeria. And to have that be the first experience a customer has is just, to me, insane.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
So customer service is something that I don't think a lot of people think of. I think that maybe customer service is like, okay, what happens after the meal is complete, or maybe a smaller part of the business. But it's really the main point of your business, isn't it?
Absolutely. I always like to say that's the reason why I wrote the book Customer Service is the Bottom Line, because customer service will be able to grow your sales immediately. There's, you know, if somebody's calling your pizzeria, they don't know if they're going to talk to Joe Schmo or they're going to talk to the actual owner. They're picking up the phone. They want to know who they're talking to. They want to know what you're going to have. So if you just say blah, 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 pizzeria and nothing else, they're going to be like, well, I don't want to eat here.
Right.
But if you have the, hey, thanks for calling Andrew's Pizzeria, this is Bob, how may I help you? They're saying, great, now I know who I'm talking to. I know which location this is at, and I know exactly the tone of what I'm going to get when I come into the restaurant.
I totally agree. I'm not just picking on pizzerias. It happens at like the drive-thru at the coffee shop too.
Oh, absolutely.
They're brutal at that.
Oh, for sure. Starbucks has been doing a really good job at the drive-thrus lately. Like, their customer service and their engagement at the drive-thrus have improved exponentially since they launched.
It's funny you say that. I haven't had that experience at Starbucks because there's not a ton of drive-thrus at Starbucks where I'm from. Mm-hmm. But Dunkin' Donuts is a bigger brand out here on the East Coast. And there is one Dunkin' Donuts that I have gone to in the past. And the guy, it's the same guy every day in the morning time. Mm-hmm. And he's the nicest guy in the world. He's like got the happiest voice. He greets you just like that in the drive-thru. And it just puts a smile on my face. And it's the one time where I'm at the drive-thru and I'm like happy to give the guy money.
Yeah, absolutely. But what he probably doesn't even know is how big of an impact just that small interaction that he's having with you, how big of an impact that has on your morning.
I know, because I'm talking about it on the podcast now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I know what you're saying, because I've never said to him, hey, you know, although maybe I should. Maybe I should go into him and be like, hey, you know what, man? You're doing a tremendous job. I just want to, where's your boss? I'm going to tell him that, because I've never done that. So you're right. But him doing that makes my experience 10 times more than the other drive-thru where they're just like, I say my coffee in there. As soon as, before my words are even out of my mouth, they say, anything else?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's seven people in my car here. I got to get like 14 coffees. Can you not say anything else every time I say one thing? So it does make a difference. How do you train your staff to care when it comes to customer service, or get that point across to them like you are as the owner?
So one of the biggest things that we do is, first, we hire for personality, and we make sure that they are, you know, they have that hospitality gene. They want to make sure that they're taking care of people. They want to have that interaction with people. And then once we get them, when it comes to training, it's, you want to make sure that you're training it when it comes naturally. So everything that you do is, you want to say, this is how we always interact with the customer. This is the pizzeria, Andrew's Pizzeria way of doing X, Y, and Z. These are how we have interactions. Because the biggest thing that you do is, when you start training people, you say, this is what you don't do. You give them a whole list of stuff that you don't do. You don't talk to the customers this way. You don't do this. You don't have this interaction. And then what do? They do exactly what you told them not to do. And then as the restaurant owner, you're banging your head up against the wall saying, right, I just told them not to do this. Why are they doing this? And it's because your mind doesn't process negatives. So when you tell them don't do something, all their mind hears is do this. So that's how bad habits are created.
Huh.
So when it comes to, and it's just like teaching kids. I don't have any kids myself.
Well, you just described my kids perfectly, actually.
But I know from like an adult learning perspective, when you tell people don't do something, they'll do it automatically. So when it comes to training people really well on customer service, you basically have to show them in a way that how you want to have this interaction, you need to show it, and then they need to be able to replicate that. And then you need to give them a list of standards of these are how we have these conversations. So if you want to make sure that they have the best experience, this is our mission statement. We want to make sure that people have the best experience walking in here. There's a restaurant out here called Mendocino Farms, and it's Mario Del Perro, and he's expanding really quickly, and it's really fun to see his expansion because he said he wanted to be the best community space in every town that he goes into. So it doesn't matter if you come to his restaurant with an outside drink, their staff is going to come around and saying, hey, what are you drinking? We want to make sure that you're hanging out here, having a good time. Your friends are eating here. We know you didn't order anything, but you know, a soda beverage is going to be pennies to the dollar. When that experience to grasp that customer back in is everything. So it's just having that understanding of people and these interactions that you have are the most important things that you will have throughout the day. And if you as the restaurant owner can have those meaningful interactions with the employees and everyone on your team, everyone on your team is going to want to have those meaningful connections and conversations with the customers. Right. So everything starts from the top down. So if the owners are screaming at their staff and they're, you know, saying how awful of a job they are, that's going to reflect onto how the staff treats the customers. So when a customer complains, they're just going to be like, roll their eyes and, you know, just sigh and be like, I guess I can handle this for you. Instead, if the owner really cares about their team, the team's really going to care about the customers. So when the customer does say, hey, this is what happened, they're going to say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I want to make sure that we want to make this right because that's what we stand for. We want to make sure that you have the best experience in this restaurant. So before you leave, let me, you know, let's take care of that right now so you can continue having a memorable experience.
That's great. Disney does a great job of that as a company. Not so much obviously in the restaurant space, but they do have restaurants and Disney is a huge company. Disney's like one of the only companies that I can think of that people actually want to go work for.
Absolutely.
Because they do such a good job with their employees and with their customers and making that experience part of the experience.
Absolutely. I mean, there's been people at Disney that have been working as janitors, and they are the happiest and most grateful people that you'll ever meet. Like, it doesn't matter if you're one of the janitors that are sweeping up the trash or if you're one the person that's running the rides. Like, they all embody the Disney culture.
Right. And you can do that as an individual operator, and it's probably way easier for you because you have way less employees and way less overhead.
Absolutely.
So someone listens to this podcast and they're like, you know what, Andrew, you are right. I'm going to change my restaurant. I'm going to go in there tomorrow and I'm going to totally put customer first, put my employees first, and make sure that everything that goes on in my restaurant is happy and motivating. And maybe in the past, they haven't been like that. How do you get that to go into day one without your staff coming in and being like, are we in the Twilight Zone? What is going on here?
Honestly, the first thing that you need to do is just have an open and honest conversation with everyone. You need to be transparent. And if like you haven't put customers first, or you know, you don't have a mission statement or a list of core values that your staff even knows, like you need to list out those core values first. You need to list your mission statement. What is it that you want to do with your restaurant? What's the value that you want to bring? And once you have an understanding of that, you can walk into your restaurant and have an open and honest conversation and say, listen, we have failed the community. We haven't been the best that we can be. This is the story that we want to tell. This is what we want to stand for. And you need to, you know, have an honest conversation. You need to say, these are going to be our new expectations that we have of you. And these are the new expectations you're going to have from us. And once you have that open and honest conversation, people are going to be open for change.
And maybe like you said, take the blame a little bit to yourself, because if it's a problem, it obviously starts with you because you have total control over what goes on in your restaurant.
Absolutely. And there's nothing more empowering for your team than hearing that, you know, some of it is your fault as the owner. Like, if you just push it all off on them and say, this is the changes that we're going to do. We need to make sure we're coming in here. We're going to have a full-on assault and we're changing everything. Everyone's going to be like, well, how long is this going to last?
But,
but if you come in and you really say, listen, we want to make sure we make an impact on this community. We want to do more. And we want to make sure that you have a wonderful experience here working for us. Because you're selling our dream. Every single day, we're asking you to come in and sell our dream. Of course, we're giving you a paycheck, but you could be working at anywhere else, and you chose to work here. So we want to do better by you. And these are the expectations you'll have from us, and then these are what we expect from you, and this is what the overall goal is. So then you need to have a strategy in place of how you're going to implement these changes.
And that's what they call you and Mike Ganino for, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I have no clue how to do that.
And it's not easy. Like, I will say, if you have never created training manuals before, or if you don't have a full training program for your restaurant, it's going to be tough and it's going to be hard at times, because what you have to do is you have to walk through every single position and every single thing that they do. You want to make sure that you have an understanding of, this is the pizzeria's way of doing things. It's not a, this is Joe Schmo's and this is Becky's way of doing things, because what it comes down to is, this is the culture of our restaurant. This is the way we interact with our customers. This is the way that we do things. This is the way that we always carry our pizzas out to the customers. You know, you always want to make sure that you're using words like always, and this is how we do things, instead of saying, this is what we don't do. And then they're like, well, I'm doing it anyway.
But so you want to point out the way that it should be done, not necessarily what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, and your training manual should be hefty. Like, I worked for a restaurant once where they had a one-page training program, and it said day one, day two, day three, day four. And then they were like wondering why their staff was doing half of the things incorrectly. But you have to walk through the day-to-day of, you know, you have to list, how do you carry three plates at a time in a restaurant? Like, you have it in paper, you have it written down, so they know that's an expectation. And then what you do is you train them in person, so they have that interaction of the kinesthetic. They're actually touching and doing these things, because you have to reach all different learning styles. And most restaurant trainings, unless they're like a huge restaurant group that have done trainings before, they don't hit all the learning styles. And it's very important to make sure that you're teaching everyone in a way that they learn best.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to ask you if you should do videos about your training as well.
I think you should do everything. You need to have a paper manual that's going to be thick, that like they look at it and their eyes go wide open. They're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But then you need to have short videos that are like snippets of information, especially for people like myself. I learn best through short video trainings and going to seminars. But seminars, you get so overwhelmed because there's so much information packed in those 8 to 10 hour days, and you walk away and you take away like two or three of those key components.
I 100% agree with you. I'm going to give you two things. If I ever went to work at a restaurant and they plop down a book in front of me, I'm going to pretend to read that thing. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to watch videos.
For sure. But they need to be small, short videos that are entertaining, so they can retain that information.
Yeah.
Because if you have a 20-minute video, they're going to tune out so quickly. Like, when I first started working for McDonald's when I was 15 years old, I worked there for like 2 months. Their training videos were like, it was monotone and it wasn't fun. And the technology was fun back in early 2000s. But now videos are so easy to make sure that they are entertaining, and to make sure that this is the most important takeaway that you have in this video. And then it needs to be more of like a user guide. As you, like, your videos should basically be your training manuals, but in a video format and small snippets, to make sure that they can retain that information.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Same thing with the emails that I get. I love emails from the people who listen to the show. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be honest with you, and I hope nobody gets offended by this, I don't really read the long ones. I kind of skim through those. I can't read that good. It's like, you got to space it out. Sometimes on my phone, the emails get too long. I love getting emails from people, but sometimes those emails are quite lengthy.
That's why all the blog posts I write for Foodable, and you'll see my paragraphs are like two sentences at most. And my book is formatted the same way, because the issue is, people used to, you know, I used to write for, you know, high school, we'd have to write essays. And they were like, you have to put at least 6 to 8 sentences. And my paragraphs were long. It ended up being like a full page. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And my attention span was so short. But when I have short sentences and paragraphs that I can know that I'm like actually making a dent in everything, that's when I really succeeded.
Yeah, I agree with you. I get some, you know what I love even better than that? Is when people send me snaps about, like, they listen to a show and they got this one tip. It's like a quick 10-second video. Super awesome.
Oh, that's really cool.
At Smart Pizza Tips, by the way, on Snapchat. Are you on Snapchat, Andrew?
I am, but I don't use it. Like, I'm more Instagram. More Instagram. I do all the stories. It's just Andrew Carlson.
All right, Instagram. All right, Andrew. Wow, we've been on for 30-plus minutes now. Thank you so much for taking the time out. That was a great interview. I think that went really well.
Yeah, thank you so much again for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Where can people go find you online or in real life or wherever you want them to go look?
You can go to my website. It's andrew-carlson.com. And if that's too much for you, you can just go to carlsonhospitality.com and it goes directly to the same website. From there, you know, you can find my Amazon and you can find all my social media links on my website.
Excellent. And your new book is called Customer Service is the Bottom Line. That's on paperback. It's available now on Amazon. If you want to head over to smartpizzamarketing.com, we will link Andrew's website, his social media, and his new book up all over there. Andrew, thanks so much, man, for taking the time out. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bruce. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much to Andrew for joining us, sharing all his great knowledge on the show. Go check out his website. You can find it over at smartpizzamarketing.com. Type in Andrew Carlson on the search bar up top, and you'll find all the show notes and links to his social media, his Instagram, Facebook, and his services. If you need some help building your plan for hiring and training, Andrew is one of the guys that I suggest you go check out to have you help with that. All right, I am on Twitter. So come say hello to me on Twitter at Irving Media. On Instagram, I am Smart Pizza Marketing. Obviously, we do our live show on Facebook. You can find me over there at facebook.com. Let me retry to do that. facebook.com/smartpizzamarketing. Our mastermind group, got a lot of interest in this lately. We are opening up another group. Got a lot of people who are interested in joining. If you are and you're listening to this, head over to smartpizzamarketing.com/mastermind. You can check out some more information about how to join and what's involved. And if you need help, you know, Andrew's the guy and Mike Anino's the guy to help you with your training and culture. But if you need help with your marketing, I'm your man. We have a whole marketing platform, and we only work with one pizzeria per zip code. They are filling up fast. We are onboarding a lot of clients lately. If you notice on social media, I've been a little bit quiet lately. It's because we've been working hard here. We're trying to figure out and analyze all the things that we do on social media so we can bring that to you on the podcast and help you in the future with your business. If you want to go check out if your zip code is available, you can do that over at smartpizzamarketing.com/zip, Z-I-P. Everything will be there for you. You can type in your name, your email, and your zip code, and we'll get back to you and let you know if your zip code is even available. You might not even be able to work with us. Someone might be already working with us in your area and growing their business. So if you want in, you better go over there now and check it out. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate you listening to the show. To take 40 minutes out of your morning or your afternoon while you're walking or driving in your car, I super, super appreciate it. I love all the emails that I get from you. I know I said I don't read the long ones on this episode. I do go back and read those eventually. But I love the short emails, the people who email me and say they listen to the show and they love it, or they've gotten some great information out of it, and now they're implementing that in your business. I really love to hear those. So if you have any of those success stories, or you want to say you've listened to this particular episode and it was great, shoot me an email, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. I would love to hear from you. And if you could, if you're listening to this on iTunes right now, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Google Play. We're there too. Give me a quick review. Just give me the 5-star review there and let me know what you think of the show. That would be super helpful. Okay, that's it from me, guys. We'll see you next week.